Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It is Sunday, March 19th. We're in the middle of March Madness, so hopefully you guys are enjoying some hoops, some college hoops, and enjoying the games that have been on. Richie, how's your weekend been?
Pretty good, man. A lot of basketball. One of the wildest opening starts of the tournament I can remember in a long time. 2-1 seeds already out before the Sweet 16. Went and saw Corey Smith in concert last night with the wife and one of my best friends, Weston. So pretty fun weekend all around, and today's just going to be on the couch basketball, and I got a sous vide ribeye in the bath ready to go.
Oh, flex on him, Richie, flex on him. Yeah, it's been a good weekend. The tournament's been fun. The weather's been kind of pretty nice. Yeah. I know I like to flex on the timeline with the TV setup out there, but a lot of times I can't even use that, but it's been really nice outside. So thank the Lord for the good weather, and thank the Lord for the good folks over at Guthrie's. If you're in Tallahassee or visiting soon, spring game coming up in less than a month, make sure you run to Eventbrite and get your tickets for that. Spring game coming up soon. You can go to eventbrite.com and get that. We'll have Guthrie's chicken out there. But if you're in town before then, 1818 West Tennessee and 2550 North Monroe. Richie, we're probably going to be doing another tailgate in 2024. I don't know if we can get Guthrie's chicken to it or not, because the Noles are heading across the pond to Ireland. We put a video out on it. We talked a little bit about it, but thoughts on that trip to Ireland in a couple of years here, or in a year or so.
Yeah, I cannot wait, TJ. You know, I did my ancestor DNA. I am 10% Irish, so I'm going to embrace all 10% of that. But the wife is actually pretty much fully Irish and Scottish. And we were actually planning a trip to Ireland and Scotland next year for her 40th birthday. And with the news of the game dropping, it just made it all that much easier. I think I sent you a screenshot of the email she was sending me with like castle stays and different things like that. But I think it's a great opportunity for Florida State. They really are an international brand. I mean, we look at our listeners and we have listeners from all over the globe, right? It's not just in Orlando or Tallahassee or Florida. It really is all over the place. And I think it's a great opportunity. People are upset about the game. I don't know why. It was originally scheduled for Atlanta, so it's not like we're losing a home game, which I could somewhat understand that. But no, it's a great opportunity to make for a lot of people, once in a lifetime trip and see your favorite college football team. I just don't see a downside to this at all.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's such a once in a lifetime opportunity. Talked about this in the video, but the fact that it is it's a road game, right? So you're not losing a game in Doak. Michael Alford's come on here and talked about how important it is for big games to continue to be in Doak. Not that Georgia Tech would be a huge, game at home anyway, but it is nice to not have those games falling off of your home schedule. When you're trying to sell season tickets and you're trying to raise money and things, losing any game in any weekend, not great for local businesses, not great for, the fans to lose a home game. This year I'm excited to go play LSU again. I am frustrated that that game is in Orlando. So anyway, I think it's good that you're not losing that. It's a week zero game, so you're going to get another bye week. That's kind of fun and enjoyable there, that you're going to get a second bye week during the year. And then it's an opponent you should beat, right? You should beat Georgia Tech, right? I would expect that they improve by the time we get to 2024. I know that they've got a lot that they're going to be in the first year this year. They'll get better in 2024, but I still think you're pretty far ahead of them. So you should be able to go and have a relatively good time and not have a 9 or 10 hour flight home thinking about a loss. So, I'm glad it's not like UGA or something. Right. So, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be really, really neat. And then, once in a lifetime to go see your team play, somewhere else. I thought it was once in a lifetime to go see Florida State play in Pasadena. This is like that times 10, right? Like going to another country and seeing your team play. It's certainly, Michael Alford having NFL experience is certainly under that NFL model, how the NFL likes to go to other countries and play. The Bucks have done it several times. The Jags, different teams have made several trips over there. But have you ever thought about going and seeing a Bucks game in London or anything like that, Germany or whatever?
No, I never really considered it. I'm 90 minutes from Tampa, and I have season tickets, and I don't even go to all 8 home games a year, so I'd never consider going there. But for Florida State, I mean, it's different, right? It truly is. I think that's why college football, in my opinion, is the best sport in the world. I know the NFL is the most popular over here, at least, but college football for me, it's the passion, it's the community, it's everything involved. And let's be honest, man, we've had some really, really heartbreaking losses in Bobby Dodd Stadium. So I'm just glad we don't have to worry about that this time around.
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't even I mentioned that in the video the other day, but I didn't even say that when we were when we have just been talking now. It is nice to not have to go to
the Marcus Sims, the kick six, man.
Yeah, we're good. We're good on all that. So, yeah, I think great point by you and a bunch of sad memories there. So, all right, cool. So excited to go to Ireland. Excited for that trip. I did also find out that Delta 8 is totally fine. So you can fly with it. You'll be good to go. You can stock up on your Gramco on your way out there. If you haven't stocked up on your Gramco, if you haven't visited their website recently, it's thegramco.com. Get anything and everything you need with regard to Delta 8, whether you're looking for gummies, pre-rolls, vapes, pens, whatever you're needing, you can use code TJ25 or DFNS25. They both work exactly the same. They both track exactly the same. It's just kind of whatever you remember when you're checking out at that moment. Go get you some Delta 8 gummies. If you haven't tried them just yet, they have a pack that's $6 with the code. If you don't like that, you send me a message and I'll Venmo you $6, right? Like, just go give them a try today. Check them out. If you're looking to get over on me for $6, then there's your way to do it. So thegramco.com. Appreciate them for their support. All right, Richie, I sat down with Jake Norris. He's an NIL agent. He's an FSU fan as well. Grew up a big Knoll. Actually sat with him for the game against Oklahoma. They're in Camping World Stadium, which excited to get back there. Not for to be in Camping World Stadium, but for the game in September. He works with no off-season sports. He represents several FSU athletes, from Kyle Morlock, transfer from Shorter University, Ayo Tafasi, Devin Flaherty, Connor Whitaker, and others. Go check their website out, No Off-Season, on social media. They do a great job. I sat down with him for a few minutes to talk about NIL in a new series that we've released on YouTube, and we're going to play that interview for you guys now so you can get a little bit of an understanding of what they've got going on and what Jake and the crew is up to. Kind of look at NIL from a couple of different perspectives. We are starting with this one from the agent side. Next up, we'll do the collective side. We've got Ingram Smith from the Battle's End coming. That'll probably come out later this week on both YouTube and audio platforms. And then we have an FSU athlete coming on. I don't want to say who just yet, but we'll chat with him on NIL from his perspective as well. So here's that interview with Jake Norris. Check that out and enjoy. All right, welcome back. We are here live with Jake Norris. Jake works with No Offseason Sports. He's an NIL agent. He represents some of our favorite Seminoles as well as other athletes across the country. Jake, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How about you? Appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for joining today. Let's jump right into it. Let's talk a little bit about NIL. We've had a bunch of questions. We've had a bunch of comments, just trying to understand more about NIL. So we're doing this series. Appreciate you guys if you've tuned in to any of them or if you've seen the other videos. They're all on our page, the Double Fries No Slaw YouTube page, that you can go check them all out. Trying to look at NIL from different perspectives, that of the agent, the player, the collective, and a compliance perspective to try and give people a better understanding of what's going on. But let's jump right into it. Let's talk about why it's important for college athletes to have an agent. Obviously, as an agent, you probably had to make this sales pitch or make this pitch to athletes in the past and probably going forward as well. Why is it important for athletes to get hooked up with an agent?
Man, that's a really good question. I'll put a little bit of stats behind it. Like, from what I've seen, really, across all Division I sports, like 1% of the players in NCAA Division I sports either have an agent or are in the realm of needing an agent. So to that point, like, does everybody need an agent? Probably not. And that really just comes up to, like, what the opportunity set is for each player. You think about schools like Florida State, huge tradition, TV views, people, the attendance of games, right? That market is just so much bigger than, like, a smaller, you know, call it group of five Division One school. So does everybody need an agent? No. But when I think about some of the top players in the country, and really people that are going to be earning a lot of money through NIL, need to have an agent for a multitude of reasons. And I think the biggest one is the time, right? It's like NIL takes so much time, especially if you're a top player, from people reaching out to you for deals, people trying to get you on appearances or marketing endorsements or whatever it might be, right? And that takes a lot of time for a player. And a player should be really focused on, in my mind, getting to the next level. So having an agent really takes the time away from having to do things like reviewing contracts, talking, honestly, the back and forth with brands and businesses takes a lot of time from an agent's perspective. So taking that off of players' plate is probably the biggest thing. So from why they would need an agent, I would say the time and effort that it takes to actually facilitate from front to end an NIL deal. The other thing is expertise. You think about pro sports, right? These guys are at least 22, 23 years old in some cases. They've had a little bit more experience. We've got players on our roster that are like just turning 18. You know, I was just turning 18. Roddy, when I first met him, was going to prom. So like he hasn't thought at all about contracts and about how to approach things from a business perspective, what I should be looking for, what should I try to stay away from, things like that. So I think having someone with knowledge and expertise of the business landscape, and not only that, someone that's willing to continue to like learn and evolve with NIL. There's so many things that, I mean, think about from last year to this year alone, how much things are changed.
Yeah.
Same thing with next year. It's going to look so much different than where we're at right now. Someone that's going to understand that landscape and help you evolve with them.
Yeah. We talked a little off air. Can you talk about just how players are valued? What that looks like in the NIL world? There's not only roster value, but there's market value, and there's like a lot of different things coming into play there when you're negotiating some of these deals, and then you're going back to the player and trying to explain that, hey, this is a good deal, or hey, this isn't a good deal. We should kind of move around with, we should move this way or that way. Talk to us some about that, just the different ways that a player could be looked at and valued.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, really two ways to look at it is the roster value versus market value. And there's a couple of publications out there that have done a really good job of like trying to define this and try to put numbers around it. But going back to what we just talked about, like that's going to look so much different next year than it will look compared to this year. So really, I look at value for players in two different ways. Is for me, the biggest thing is their marketing value. And that's where I think that we provide a lot of value to these players, is bringing some marketing expertise, branding expertise to the table and help them build in the sense of marketing value. So really all that means is how do we find ways through these social avenues, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, however it might be, to get views on them. We could take those views and go to brands and say, hey, it would be great if, you know, you had an ad that you wanted to run or you wanted something to be read or whatever. We can integrate that into our content that we're already doing. That's one way for players to get paid. But a lot of players, going back to the time and effort that it takes, don't go that route because you have to have resources. You have to have knowledge and expertise on how to create content and stuff that you do all the time, TJ. So I think you'll have a good understanding of that. But taking it from, all right, I've got a good Instagram following. I've got people that follow my YouTube or people that follow me on TikTok, right? And helping them grow their numbers, whether it be follower count, engagement, click-through rates, so on and so forth. And taking those numbers is essentially selling it to brands for them to use their advertisements on. That's one way of doing it. The other way, it's purely through the likeness of name, image, and likeness, which is your roster value. And that's where I think that players, whether it be where they're at on the depth chart or where they might be at for a branding perspective from a school, you look at a guy like Dylan Gibbons, who did a really good job last 2 years of building a brand through his charitable efforts. How can you get more roster value from your play on the field? I think that's really the second way. And that's where, helping guys, with external training or, getting them a little extra work off the field is where we try to provide value and use NIL to do deals with people that might help them in their roster value. One thing that we're talking through right now is D1 sports training in Tallahassee. They have these great facilities at the school, but how can we provide them things outside of the facilities at the school to where they can get some extra work in to increase their roster value? So those are really the two ways that I look at players and how they're valued.
Cool. How do you know when you're kind of going through some of these negotiations, talk to the folks, and I'd like to learn too. How do you know what to ask for? How do you know where to go when you start out that conversation?
Yeah, so this could also be broken up really into two parts. I'll start with the roster value portion of it because I think that's probably what everyone is most interested on. To be candid, there's really not a great way of doing it at the moment, but I'll tell you how I do it personally is I really look, it's kind of like the same way of like comps, right? We're trying to find comparable figures that other people might have released to talk about, hey, this player at this position that's a comparable school or a comparable division, was paid X amount of dollars for his services through NIL, through their collective. This goes back to the markets that we're talking about, you know, comparing the market for Florida State versus like a USF or a UCF or, you know, any of these group of five schools, the salary cap for what they have available to pay is a little bit different. You know, real life example, Trayshawn going to Kansas State, you know, when we talk to Florida State, you know, those numbers are so much different than Kansas State because, you know, Kansas State Collective One only really started, you know, middle of last season. Their fundraising goal is totally different from Florida State's. And then lastly, like, they haven't really had the record of paying people through NIL or through their collective for as long as Florida State has. So when you're thinking about going and approaching a collective about, hey, here's how much I think this player is worth, I think a few things have to come into play. One, like, what are their stats? Like, did they produce anything during the year? Are they in the 2D of the depth chart? Like, how much of a competitor or like contender are they for reps or for snaps? That plays a big portion. Is it a skill position? That kind of leads the market right now. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs.
Or offensive linemen, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Like solid left tackles could fall into that.
But that's how the NFL works too, right? I mean, that's shooting guards make the most of the NBA. I mean, it just that's what it is, right? Like,
yeah. I think the point that we're trying to make here, though, is that, like, we hear so much in the Twitter world, these talking heads, right, that are like, you know, these guys are getting $500,000, or they're getting $1 million, or they're getting a $14 million deal and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, like, how many of those actually happen, right? And, like, how many of those can we verify and say that they actually happen? A lot of them actually don't happen in reality. So being able to take, like, solid comparables that you can point to another player and say, hey, this guy at Clemson or this guy at NC State or whatever school plays same position, had similar stats, was paid X, I would assume that my guy would be paid similar. Here's the challenge. If you're going to a school that doesn't have as great as fundraising, you have to lower those expectations, right? And you have to think about it in the sense of what that market offers, right? You can't say my FSU guy compared to your NC State guy or Kentucky or whatever, because everybody has different fundraising. And you can't base it off of that. So that's where I really look at the salary cap for roster value is based off of fundraising. Like, what is that collective's fundraising goal, and how close are they to actually hitting that goal?
And then, like, I mean, you mentioned Trayshawn. I think it would also be different based on not only the goals, right? So Florida and Florida State, right, if we use those schools, for example, probably are fairly similar, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they may have some challenges, but they're probably going to be operating in the same world. But if you're an elite defensive end and Florida State is absolutely stacked at that position right now with Jared Verse, and they love the young guys in Peyton, they brought in Edmund, and they really like what they're doing in that position, Florida may be able to offer a little more of that position than Florida State can, because Florida State's already off, you know, allocated X number of dollars to that position. So it's not that Florida State didn't value that player, or they just may not be in the market for that kind of sum of money for that kind of player, I would assume, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing that's really missed out on right now is the point that you just brought up. Even year to year, those things can change. You brought up a perfect example. Like, we have Jared Verse this year. He was a first round, well, day 1-2 type of pick in the NFL draft for 2022, or I'm sorry, the 23 draft. And he's going to come back, right? Well, that's kind of setting a precedent for some higher numbers in the salary cap, so to speak. And so, does that precedent carry over from year to year? My personal take is that it's going to be tough because fundraising can change year to year, right? We just came off a 10-win season. Well, what if we don't win 10 wins? If we don't have 10 wins next year, do we still have the same fundraising? Speaking candidly, probably not. Just because that's what really rallies people to donate. And so when you think about the salary cap, if I'm Jared, the next Jared Verse coming from a small school or a D2 school and trying to make that step into Power 5, do I go and command Jared Verse type of money, right? The real answer is it depends on the school, the fundraising, the conference even, the position, who else is out there. So you talked a little bit about the NFL. I think that's kind of where we're moving towards in those comparables and the way that they value players. I think that we're, from an NIL perspective in college football alone, we're definitely moving that way towards more of an NFL and a pro model.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about just kind of a crazy story or something. I know you may have to protect some names and images and stuff like that, but I want to talk to you about a crazy story. Just before we do that, I want to give some love to our friends over at the Sheepdog Corporation. Hey guys, we've talked with you guys a ton about the Sheepdog Corporation. They are a phenomenal partner of ours that, as a reminder, gives back to both our active military, our vets, and our first responders. They do a ton with mental health counseling, PTSD treatment, and other things that they can with those first responders, vets, and active military. We've got an opportunity right now for you to contribute and to give back there. We don't ask for a lot. All these videos are free. We don't put anything behind a paywall. But if you want to give back and you want to show support, you can go to their website, which we'll link above right now. You can learn more about them. It's the sheepdogcorporation.com. You can check them out and you can sign up to give either a one-time donation or a monthly donation. Doesn't have to be something massive. Doesn't have to be something just out of this world right now. But they're doing phenomenal work. I personally give monthly, and I would encourage you guys to check them out and maybe do the same. Again, I've got the utmost respect for both our first responders, our active military, and our veterans that are suffering from mental health issues, PTSD. They've done a lot for us, and I really do appreciate working with the Sheepdog Corporation. So check them out. Again, the link's above. It's also down in the description. And if you'd be willing to maybe support, maybe share their message, it would mean a ton. Appreciate our friends over at the Sheepdog Corporation. Okay, we teased this, but can you tell us kind of a crazy story or something that maybe has blown your mind? You probably have more than one, but we'll try and keep it succinct for the folks listening. But tell us about something that was just kind of off the wall that's happened with NIL that maybe you've seen happen or something that's just kind of been crazy. Protecting some names and images maybe, but something kind of nuts that the fans would like to hear.
Oh, man. I got to protect a few ones on this one. But I would just say that I don't know if I want to like detail the story too much, but I'll just tell you, like December 5th through January 18th is probably like the craziest time of my life, especially this last, month and a half or so ago, just because of how many names NIL has become fully matured on a couple of different players who have since transferred. Obviously, you get a lot of phone calls from a lot of different coaches across the landscape, and what you find out is that how much these coaches actually talk to each other, even at different schools. So, I don't even remember what December 5th was, but December 5th, my phone rang more than it's ever rang in the history of my phone being around. But regardless, I had maybe like four or five coaches call me in the afternoon about a certain player. And, one of them texted me saying, "Hey, call me before you call this guy at this other school." Yeah. And then that guy calls me and says, "Hey, did you talk to so-and-so yet?" And I said, he shot me a text, but I haven't really talked to him. He goes, "Don't call him," because these guys are all hitting against each other for the
same. Yeah.
And so they know what that other school has to offer, and they know that they're competing against them. The other thing too, is the methods of contact. And I think, I'm not trying to plug another podcast here, but Matt Rule talks on Bustin' with the Boys podcast about, these weird scenarios in NIL about how they can't talk with players, but they can call their agent up and talk to them right then and there. It's kind of that same scenario where they can't really talk directly to families and players, but I'm just really a third party here. But I think the craziest thing for me is having other coaches who I don't know at all. I don't know any of these guys. I mean, I'm talking about on staff, on-field staffers calling about other on-field staffers at other schools saying, "Hey, I know he's calling you and wants to talk and wants to get this player here, but we will do anything to get this player here otherwise." So having other coaches bid who don't even know you or really the player at all at that point to come and bid and talk about each other like that is probably just the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Pretty cutthroat, I assume, and has to be pretty wild for you to sit back and watch it all happen. And like you said, they're making those calls all over and,
all over.
Talk to us a little bit about the transfer portal and how crazy that was. Maybe some neat things. Obviously you represent Kyle Morlock, who Florida State picked up out of the portal. So maybe talk to us a little bit about that few weeks there.
Man, you want another crazy story? I'll kind of tie it into this one. Kyle's family, I don't know them at all. I DM'd all of Kyle's family on Instagram, and the mom and the sister replied back. So I'm super thankful to them for even giving me. But talk about a crazy story, like Kyle talking to Kyle and his family originally, and then hearing their contact with other coaches and stuff was crazy as well. But going back to the transfer portal, man, I always tell, I tell players this every, whether I, you're signed in no offseason or not, if I'm just giving you some game about NIL, is don't hit the transfer portal if you don't know where you're going. Everybody knows where they're going. If you're in the portal and you want to transfer, you're either going because you're just so unhappy at your situation, or you already talked to a coach, or your high school coach talked to a coach, or so on and so forth. I'm kind of opening the hood up here, but it's true. I mean, these guys really do have some back channels to be able to say, like, hey, I need to figure out that, you know, they're not going to pull a quick one on me, because I could even tell you cases where they call a guy December 5th, December 6th, another guy hits the portal. That guy wants to commit. The first guy wants to commit, and then they are already committing, got the second guy to commit before him, and they don't take his calls anymore. So that's the type of stuff where you don't want to roll the dice when you get in the portal, unless you're going to be a top 5 or a 10 name, because outside of the top 100, NIL kind of goes out the window, just speaking candidly. I might, you know, people might say it's top 250 or so, but there was 1,000 players that put their name in the portal on December 5th. I would say 250 of those people really, really care about and know where they're going already. But then again, when it comes to NIL, like, and this is my take on it, is that I'm all about production. Like, we want to know that you've done something on the field already before you get there. Yeah. Kyle's situation is interesting because a lot of people look at him and say, like, oh, well, he was in this D2 production. Just going to say this out loud. You can't teach that size and speed. You just, I mean, yeah. you can't teach 6'7". You can't teach that arm length. You can't teach that catch radius and the ability to bring the ball in and contest it. So really excited for him. But, yeah. You know, for me, I knew that Florida State was in desperate need of some tight end help, and that's not a knock to those guys in the room at all. It's more so, and I talk about this all the time with our players, is competition within the room brings the best out of everybody. Sure. We need to have more depth and more competition, and Kyle and Jaheim Bell kind of bring that to the table with us. But, yeah, man, transfer portal is really, really interesting. I think that when we think about the top players getting paid in NIL going forward, it's all moving in that direction. I think free agency is here to stay, and it's going to – I do like these windows. I think these windows make my life a little bit easier, to be honest. Like, it's really stressful between December 5th and, you know, the 18th or whatever the day in January is. But having these windows, having it be more concise, having some more structure and rules around it, we'll see if the NCAA wants to come in and be a part of that, or if it's going to be federal government intervention or people start to break off. But – we need some more structure. We've gained that over the last 2 years. We need to continue to move in that direction, both from the perspective of the ability to transfer, what the rules around transferring are, and then also how pay and compensation happens with that. I think for NIL and the collective landscape, they're still figuring it out. The good thing about Florida State that I've heard, like, whether you want to call it Battle's End or Rising Spear or just the collective in general, it's like, I think they really do value that production, what those people bring to the table. Sure. So if you're a recruit and you're like, hey, I'm a 5-star, I need $5 million, they're just going to tell you hit the road, because it's like, yeah, I don't know if we want to say that. We might have to edit that part out. But what I'm trying to get at is, like, they don't really – just because you're a 5-star prospect that has no college football production, they're not going to give you millions of dollars because of that. They'll compensate you. They'll give you opportunities, but you're not going to set the market for that. Whereas if you're a transfer who has proven themselves in college football and might have an opportunity to prove themselves at the professional ranks, that's where they want to reward people for the work that they've done. I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. Let's wrap up with this. You talked a little about FSU, talked about working with the collectives there. How does a deal actually get done? Right, we talked a little bit about how you start some of those conversations, how some of that stuff looks in the transfer portal, but let's take it home with how a deal actually finalizes and gets finished.
Yeah, so I mean, it really can go two different ways from a marketing perspective and then from a collective. So let me start with marketing real quick, because that's probably the easier one, and then I'll talk a little bit about the collective space. But in marketing, there's really two ways. It's proactive and reactive. A lot of players are reactive, meaning that they're just waiting for a brand to DM them and hope that they'll give them a contract. That doesn't happen a ton. So it was really about gaining exposure. So for us, we try to link all of our players up with the best third-party marketing agencies that can provide deals. There's probably like 10 to 15 good ones out there that will actually send deals to players. Talking about like deals like you've seen some of the stuff that Devin has gotten, Dunkin' Donuts, Diamond Kinetics. She's about to do Chance Sports and Foot Locker here in a minute. So, you know, being able to receive those deals internally is really helpful, and just having the exposure to put your name out there in a reactive sense. then on the proactive sense is how willing are you to go out there and kind of pound the table for yourself and your brand, and how you can integrate yourself with these brands and businesses like advertising and marketing opportunities. So that's where, like, you know, email campaigns or Instagram DM or Twitter DM campaigns and stuff like that, trying to put yourself and your name out there and allow them to get to know you in some sort of way so they can include you in those opportunities. So that's really from a marketing perspective, is the proactive and reactive. From there, it's all it is how do we get a contract and understand the deliverables? I mean, there's some crazy ass. I know, like with Devin and Dunkin' Donuts, we originally it was like a 12 deliverable campaign that would span like 6 or 8 months. We got to shorten that up. There's no shot that she's going to be able to do some of that stuff during the Women's College World Series coming up here in June. So just understanding that aspect of it and being able to understand what the contract's asking, what the deliverables are, how those deliverables will be executed on, so on and so forth. That's a big part that players miss. And that's why, going back to your question on players needing an agent, is just that structure. Like, how to know when to do what. You got school, you've got ball, you've got all this other stuff outside of here, and then having to manage your deliverables and all that becomes really difficult. So contract, deliverables, and then execution of the posting. That's huge too. We actually use a social media management platform for all of our players to help post on their behalf. So, like, for instance, Devin over this last weekend in Clearwater had a post due at the same time she had a game, which we were able to execute and get that off. It's those types of things that you have to be thinking about when you're taking a deal from front to end. On the collective side, it's a little bit different because it's just like, you know, you have a certain few people that you engage with at the collective. So when I go to talk to collectives about doing deals for our players, it really can be in a couple different facets, because you got to think, are you already on the team? Are you joining the team? And where are you joining the team from? Are you joining it from the transfer portal, or are you joining it from the high school ranks? So for the guys on the team, I'm really looking to see, like, who's in the two deep, who's a guy that that they think is like an up and coming, the staff thinks is like an up and coming player. And if so, those guys are more likely to get paid. You gotta think, 85 scholarship guys on the roster. We don't have a salary cap right now for 85 players. So we've got to find, you know, 30 to 40 guys that are really key contributors to the team. So finding those people. And then when it comes to that, you already have those guys on your roster. Then it comes down to, okay, what are they worth? And so now you're negotiating with the collective on what does the collective, based off their salary cap, think that they're worth, and what do we think they're worth based off of comparables from other players in a similar market, so to speak. And then from there, it's narrowing that down the deliverables. So collectives do deliverables in all sorts of different ways. My biggest thing is making sure that things can be executed on and making sure that it's not going to come back to bite us down the road, because, you know, these contracts are year long in nature. Some of them technically at other schools can be longer than that. And so you want to make sure that if you get into the second half of your contract or year two of your contract, you're still able to execute on those deliverables. Because if not, people can withhold compensation from you. We don't want to get into that realm. So from the collective side, it's really identifying and evaluating if a player can get paid, getting into a contract and discussing what the actual value will be exchanged from what the player will be compensated on, and then the deliverables. And then, once again, execution of those deliverables. It sounds very similar to the marketing part, and I get that, but it's really the bigger difference is on those execution of deliverables. A lot of times on the branding, we're really only working in social media, whereas on the collective side, it could be, hey, sign autographs for us, sign footballs for us, attend a podcast for us, attend a personal event. I think, you know, with Battle's End, you saw some of these guys go out and do a couple cool things in Atlanta with some of the organizations out there. So they can be really creative with doing that, and just making sure that you guys are from our side, we're being a good partner to them, helping them facilitate and execute that stuff, because there's so many demands on the players. I think that's what gets missed with NIL. And that's why a lot of people don't go out and get as many like brand deals and stuff like this, is because it takes a lot of time and effort. And is it really worth it for you sometimes?
I like the deliverable of go out and fly on a private jet to see the Super Bowl. That's a cool deliverable that we need more of. I don't know if that took much arm twisting for Trey and Jordan. do this for us, and then we'll let you go, man. Jake, again, with no off-season sports, talk to us about just tell us real quickly who all you're working with at Florida State and how people can support. Let's give some love to the kids you're working with.
Kyle Morlock, tight end, Florida State football. Kevin Knowles, Ja'Kai Douglas, Io Tafase, Florida State softball, Devin Flaherty, Florida State softball, Allison Royalty, Florida State baseball, Connor Whitaker. Then I got a couple kids at other schools.
Cool. And following on social media, liking, engaging with posts, maybe using brands if there are brand codes and stuff like that. All pretty easy ways to help out. So yeah. You heard a player mention there and you're not following them on social media. Get with it. Jake, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for taking some time and chatting today, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. If you guys like this video, make sure that you check out the other ones that we'll link right here, all across the top. And go check out the other content that we've got at DoubleFriesNoleslaw.com. Appreciate you guys for hanging out. Go Noles.
Go Noles.
Appreciate Jake again for hanging out with us and chatting just a little bit. Also appreciate the good folks over at Garnet & Gold. You can go to garnetandgold.com. You can use code NOSLAW, N-O-S-L-A-W, to get 15% off of your order. We are deep into baseball and softball season. Spring sports are in full swing. No pun intended. Make sure that you're shopping at garnetandgold.com. Again, NOSLAW, N-O-S-L-A-W, to save 15% off of your order. If you order $75 or more, you get free shipping. If you're in Tallahassee or going to Tallahassee soon, you can do the in-store pickup to save on shipping there as well. Appreciate Garnet & Gold for their support of not only this show, but also Florida State Athletics and Florida State's NIL efforts. GarnetandGold.com. Again, NOSLAW, N-O-S-L-A-W, to save 15% on your order. All right, Richie, a quick around the horn, and then we'll do some shout-outs, and we'll try and get out of here. I don't know if you have anything you want to add, but I'll tell you a little bit. Florida State softball won their series against Syracuse. They are competing right now as we record this. They do have a small lead of 1-0, but hopefully they can go out and get the sweep. FSU golf has had a really, really good weekend. FSU tennis has had a good weekend. They have swept just about the entire weekend. The men's side beat number 43 Notre Dame. The women's tennis team beat both of their opponents on Saturday. Women's basketball wrapped up their season. Unfortunate news with Taniya Latson being out for the remainder of the season. Their season was cut a little bit short. They lost to Georgia shorthanded, but lost to Georgia with a couple of girls out. Unfortunate there, but excited for what Coach Brooke is building towards for the rest of the year. And then football returns back to the field this week after having the week off for spring break. Excited for what they'll do. Richie, any thoughts on any of that? I know I just went for a long time.
Yeah, no, I saw Link actually got kicked out of the game today. That home plate officiating was horrendous. And I think he was sending a message not only, you know, to the umpires, but to his team and the fans that, listen, you know, we have high standards, high expectations here, and what happened today is not acceptable. Obviously, I don't think the umpire decided the game, but he was horrendous. And it was just nice to see Link, you know, have that kind of what for, say, you know, this is not acceptable. So I loved that. You know, the golf team, like you mentioned, phenomenal. I'm actually wearing a quarter zip right now. You can't see it, but from Garnet & Gold, their golf attire is actually elite if you really dig into it. So definitely shout them out. But yeah, a lot of good things. Obviously a bummer about Latson not being able to play in the tournament and that one season ending early. But overall, it, again, just shows how strong our athletics department is as a whole. Definitely a football school, but not just a football school.
Absolutely. You have any shout-outs before we get out of here, Richie?
None on my end. I don't think so. How about you, man?
Yeah, well, since I missed them during the roundabout or the around the horn, beach volleyball played in Gulf Shores this weekend. I think won all but one match. And hopefully that's not the last time they play in Gulf Shores, as that's where the national championships are later this year. So shout out beach volleyball. Sorry for missing you on the around the horn. I'm trying to like scramble my brain real quick and make sure I didn't miss anybody else. Oh, swimming and diving and track.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible friends here, TJ, but can we give a shout out to Harlan?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's how I was going to end it. Harlan had his – they had their baby on Thursday. So baby and mom are doing well. I chatted with Harlan this morning. So prayers up for them for the sleepless nights that they'll go through over the next several months, but happens to the best of us. So shout out Harlan. Houston Styles Harris,
love it. And I cannot wait for this Fairleigh Dickinson FAU game at 7:45 tonight. That's the one I have kind of circled today. How about you? Like, my bracket's busted. Arizona was my champion in my bracket. I think you're actually in first or second place in my pool right now, TJ.
Yeah, I mean, I'm you know, I think everybody's just pretty busted. I have Alabama, so at least my champion's still alive. But I mean, I had Purdue in the Final Four. I had Duke in the Final Four. I had Kansas in the Final Four. So yeah, I can still get the champion, but I don't have anything else in the Final Four. I did have St. Who was the team that went yesterday? The first team to win. They were a 12 seed. Oh, San Diego. Or no, 5 seed. Sorry, San Diego State. So I did have San Diego State in the Sweet 16. So I got that one right. I got Houston. So yeah, like it, not great, not great overall, but my game,
I'm a dead last place.
Yikes.
34th percentile.
It's on right now, but I think this Kentucky Kansas State game is going to be really, really good. I'm excited to see Miami Indiana as well for obvious reasons. Go IU. But yeah, so those are my two, Miami Indiana, which I do think will be a good game. That's not just because I hate Miami, but go Indiana. And then I may have bet on Kentucky, so let's see Kentucky pull off that win. I hate to cheer for Calipari, but I'm really just cheering for my wallet, and he happens to coach them. So those are my two games for today. Good stuff. Well, I appreciate you guys for hanging out. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and riding with us again. We'll have that our other conversation with Ingram Smith coming out later this week of the battles in just NIL from the collective perspective. Appreciate you guys for all of your support, and we will talk to you guys soon. Go Noles.